trust factor is so important.
Yeah.
In the electronic industry. And then, you know, I don't think that's one thing can be replaced by ChatGPT, the robot. You know, that human relationship and trust is such a powerful thing that I think it's it will never go away.
No. I see the whole AI of how to use it, right? It's some efficiency. It's a tool.
We kind of joke about it. Before, we always say you fake it until you make it, right? Like the unicorn. There's no such thing as a unicorn, but they fake it. And the unicorn is so popular, right? But right now with the kids, like, I don't think they even want to fake it anymore. It is how it is.
And now it's like everybody's like, you cannot multitask. You can concentrate and you can perform much better, right? If you concentrate on one thing and just execute on that, go to the next one instead of sitting with five different things.
With the, you know, newer generation, how they kind of see things different. That's definitely the new skill set, is to understand how, you know, joke about a Gen Z, how they think or how they see things differently. And so that's kind of definitely something we continue learning on, that the whole skill set on more the new marketing thing. They say sometimes the internal world, good salesperson is not always a good at talking or persuading, it's be a good listener, right?
Yeah.
Listen to what other people say. So it definitely has changed me in a way, no matter it's, you know, from the overall view or it's from the kind of talking with different people. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Sega Electronics, a North American distributor of interconnect, power, and electrical mechanical products, and a provider of custom solutions. With more than 135 years of innovation and service, Sega delivers quality components and trusted expertise through its distribution confidence business model. Headquartered in Middleborough, Massachusetts, Sega supports customers across North America with a network of sales representatives, power system engineers, and strategically located service centers. Their two distribution centers total over 268,000 square feet, along with a 47,000 square foot custom solutions center in Texas, all designed to keep technology moving forward. Learn more at Sega.com. What if you could learn real leadership strategies from the people actually shaping the future of electronics, supply chain, and manufacturing? Welcome to Leadership Manufacturing Podcast. Here we are shaping the next generation of industry leaders. Each episode delivers actionable insights, people-first strategies from executives, innovators, and also chain makers who know what it takes to adapt, motivate, and lead forward. And according to McKinsey, companies that invest in leadership and skills development are like 1.5 times more likely to maintain high performance. And that's the power of leadership done right. And that's what this show is about. I'm your host, Sanne Winding. I'm a strategic leader with over 20 years of experience in B2B marketing, product development, and helping people grow into confident, capable leaders. And you will hear practical lessons, honest conversations, and real-world tools that today's leaders are using to communicate better, build stronger teams, and also drive sustainable growth. So follow the show, subscribe, join me on YouTube or at the website. Just search for Leadership in Manufacturing. There's no fluff. This is just insight and inspiration that you need to grow and lead and make an impact. Today's guests understand the realities of leading across different cultures better than most. Jessica Chan is a distribution sales manager at Meanwell USA, is a seasoned distribution sales leader with more than 20 years of experience in the power electronics industry. She has built her career where she drives channel growth, strengthens long-term distributor relationship, and supports customers with reliable power solutions. She will share how she simplifies complex programs, navigate urgency with intention, and uses listening as her core leadership habit. Her experience offers valuable insights for anyone working across borders in electronics, supply chain, or manufacturing. Enjoy the episode. Thanks for tuning in to Leadership Manufacturing Podcast. We have a great conversation lined up, and I'm really thrilled to welcome Jessica Chang. Welcome, Jessica.
Hello, everyone. Hi, everyone. My name is Jessica Chen. How's everyone doing? How's Samantha? How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. And I'm so happy you're here, right? We had to reschedule a little bit, but we are here together. So that's awesome. So when I start these shows, I always want to have, because I have so many great leaders on the show, I always want to hear, you know, what's their passion about the electronics industry? So what's your passion?
Well, my passion is about connecting with people. And I'm always, you know, kind of know about I am more the people person. Yeah. And I think in the electronic industry, you get to meet all different type of people, right?
Yeah.
The fun type, the aggressive type, but it's always great to get to know everyone, and everyone's different. That's what makes this world so great. You know, we get to, yeah, you know, interact with the different personality, and everybody have different goal and different vision. And that's what I love about.
Yeah. And I also think, right, when we talk about the electronics industry, it's like a global industry, right? Mm-hmm. So you always have these different cultures that either it's with companies you work together with, if it's like a supplier or distributor, right, or manufacturer or rep or something. And then the culture you have inside of your company, because that could also be like a mix of people coming from all around the world. So I want to ask you about, because it's like, there's two different cultures, right? Because, and I want you to go a little bit deeper if you can, talking about what it is to working between different cultures, because you work with the business culture, like with Taiwan, and you also have the US. So what's, mm-hmm, what's the difference?
It could be challenging. Yeah. So, I'm originally born in Taiwan and then moved to the state in middle school and, you know, went through the whole education in the US. And then for me, I also have that kind of like that mix, the culture differences within me, right? I brought up with this different culture, but now I love, you know, embrace my own culture, but also learn about the US culture. So I think in the electronic world we are, not the way how you kind of just talking, being direct or indirect, it's very different from the Western culture and the Eastern culture, right? Yeah. And the way like you ask question, right? I think in the Western culture, definitely we are a little bit more direct, but if you're working with more, you know, certainly Eastern culture, maybe in Japanese, they typically say, when they say no, they don't tell you no. They give you a whole bunch of reason indirectly. So yeah, you kind of had to get a hand like, oh, is that yes or no on that? So yeah, it's definitely, it's very different. And I think culture awareness of what, when you're doing business, aware of their culture, acknowledgement, what's their culture like, it's very important, because sometimes maybe that miscommunication will get lost because of the culture different. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Denmark. So I understand as well, you know, so the European, right? And then,
yes,
the Canadian, right? And then with the US culture. So I totally get what you're saying, just from a different angle. And I think also, like, just if you're like having fun or you're making a joke, you have to make sure that your joke you're doing, if you want to like lift up the room, right, or the meeting, that you're not offending anyone. Right. So you really have to read the room and make sure that you know everybody's in there, right? It's like being on the stage, right? And understand your audience. But so anything where you like really have like a learning, right, of how to communicate clear, is that to repeat things, or, you know, or the project or the task, or, you know, this is a strategy, or what's one gold little mine for, you know, how to communicate across cultures?
I think one of the probably key thing is to be, you know, more clear. And clear about, you know, hey, this is what we're asking for. And then, yeah, definitely repeat if it's a language barrier or anything like that. Say, hey, this is what we try to deliver. Yeah. So I think to be very clear in the communication and do it in respect way, right? Now, you know, when I say sometimes direct, maybe too direct, they would think take offense, right?
Yeah.
But I think being very clear on that and very honest and transparent about, you know, what you try to deliver to different culture. And I think the people see that on the other side. They see that, you know, being very clear on your message and sincere about your message. And I think that's very important for the first step. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I also think, and I know I have an accent. I know my kids told me. I know I have it and I can't hear it. And it's just funny.
I do too.
But yeah. But it's also working, right, within teams, and you have the different culture, but you also have, you know, the accent. Sometimes it can be difficult, right? I know I have certain words where I'm like, oh my, I know I understand it. I know how to spell it, but I cannot pronounce it.
Yeah.
So sometimes as well, right, being sure that everybody in the group understand each other, or maybe just speak slower, right, mm-hmm. when you have to mm-hmm. present it, or having that slide deck that can support you present it, so you know you're breaking down that barrier, right, of the culture, maybe of that accent, so you're making sure that you are on that same page. So I think it takes, and I would love to hear your input of this, but I think it takes sometimes when you work with different cultures, it does take some more work and some more like acknowledgement around it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I agree. I just attended like this leadership class, and I forget the data, but I remember, you know, when we talk, the body language and your tone is actually represent two-thirds what you try to represent. The word just maybe just one-third on that.
Yeah.
And I think, definitely making an eye contact, and then when you talk to someone, that's also kind of important. But yeah, with the culture difference, I think in the business world, I think most of people in this world, you know, they dealt with different culture, different people from all over different world. Most people already kind of aware of it, but it just kind of being when you talk with someone, I think being kind of respectful in each other, and I think that's something very important too. Yeah.
It is. So the headquarters is in Taiwan, right? So how do you translate, because I'm sure that's all the expectation, right, from the headquarters.
Yes.
Translate that into the US team so they can actually use it, because I'm sure that there's something there. There's some magic happening.
Not easy, right? Of course, the headquarters in Taiwan, for meanwhile, we have a sales global-wise. So we do a lot of business in Europe, in China, Taiwan, all over the country. So sometimes certain programs given to us, we're like, this is not going to work. You know, it's not going to work, right? And when I started working for meanwhile, I'm like, this is not going to work. I'm not going to even try, right? But hey, our company is so successful in every country, right? And then I'm like, I think at first I kind of like, well, I know the culture. I've been here for 20 plus year or 30 plus year. It's not going to work. But I think the now being working in this industry and then dealt with two different cultures, and then personally, me too, right? Like, you know, my mom tell me something, I'm like, mom, that's not how we do it in the US, you know? And I think it's to at least kind of knowledge for it, and then at least try it out. So there's some program roll out. I think it might not work, but hey,
yeah,
they roll out this program because they want to test it out, right? So a lot of time I would say, okay, let me see it from different view, right? It might work. And then sometimes I might have to massage a bit. When I say massage, it's like if I deliver the same words and sentence to my customer, they're like, whoa, how's that going to work, right? So I might need to massage in a way like, hey, let's try to do it this way. And then another thing is sometimes if I don't think this would be 100% working, I will go back to the headquarters and say, hey, can we modify program in this way? Because maybe in a US way, we don't do stuff like that, right? Or we don't do it what we do, but it might be come out differently. Our customer might take it in the wrong way. Can we just, I'm not going to change because they're the headquarter, they're the one giving me direction, but maybe we can modify a bit, you know, our US customer can kind of more adapt to it. So I always feel like I'm that bridge, you know, and communicating between those two.
Yeah.
And then, a lot of time they say, okay, as long as our main purpose doesn't change, yes, maybe it's the way how you deliver to customer. Yeah. It's differently on that.
Yeah. So you make like a little pivot to it, right? So it's into the culture. Is there an example you can share?
I think one of the example probably want to share is so we are running this kind of sales program, right? Basically we made the not going to go in detail, but it was kind of like 10 steps you had to, you know, you're able to get certain award or a qualification. You had to do 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, because I personally think how our Asian thinking is somewhat complicated. You had to kind of work hard to get to the bottom line. But if you get to the step 8 or 9, you get big reward, right? So what I did is from this kind of 10-step process, you know, modify it to a more like just like four step or five step.
Yeah.
So basically to make a more clear communication and then just kind of simplify it. And so my customers are willing to say, okay, I want to be part of this program. Because yeah. if you tell them, say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, they get lost.
And yeah.
they're like, yeah, so that's also one yeah. of the program I had to, I can't just right. send a document.
You simplified it, but in the good way, right? To achieve everything.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then I think that's kind of the way why some of the challenge that we kind of deal with every day. But right now I don't see it as a challenge. I basically see it as a, hey, maybe that's another, you know, new way, how I kind of can figure out a way to communicate, right? And sometimes yeah. they just go back and forth, you know, maybe the customers, they still don't get it. And I might need to make another call or we'll go back to the headquarters and say, can we twist it more? Yeah.
No, that's good. I like that. And sometimes, right, by, I think, if you have a project or something like that, right, if you simplify it or you pivot a little bit, sometimes it even get better, right? And maybe mm-hmm. that can be duplicated in like other countries. So yeah. it's that's just, I love that, hearing that kind of, you know, insight of how to like de-engineering something.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
how I would say it, but I'm an engineer. No. What about the urgency, right? Because I think different cultures, right? There's like what you need to do, but there's also urgency. And it's like when you have like, now you have the red flag there. How do you handle that? And what's your advice when you have these different cultures?
Oh, for the urgency, I feel like our Asian culture, everything is urgent, right?
Yeah.
And then, I think that, you know, one example, sometimes when they want to roll out certain program, they're like, oh, we got to get this done in 2 days. I'm like, whoa, you know, it takes time, right? So I think it's a communicating back, say, hey, can we have a week? Because tell the reason why. I always want to know.
Yeah.
I also, whatever, there are certain things, like, I don't want to say, well, I can't do it, right? But I want to say the reason why I cannot get this complete in 2 days is because
yeah.
We need a certain time to kind of get to the right person on that. So the urgency, I understand it's urgent on our headquarters side, but I would rather, you know, kind of, I'm not saying give me a month, but give me a week to get the thing right versus rushing through it. And everybody's not clear about the direction. And then we might have to spend longer time to do it. So the urgency is also one of the things, like certain things when in my culture, they, a certain thing they say, hey, we want to get that. It's more fast paced, I feel like, in Asia. A lot of times, the other thing, the way they work, it's definitely a little more fast paced, the whole US culture on that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good insight. I also think you just said, right, when you ask, right, give me like more reasons, right? But also like have that explanation, because that could be like hidden questions, right, that you need to have answered as well before you can actually go and execute on that project or that task.
Yeah.
So that it's so important sometimes to slow down, right, before you can
yeah.
pick up. And then, because the more you know up front, right, the faster you can actually go through everything there. So I like that. But it's I've seen it as well. That's a different way when you have something like, if it's urgency or if it's burning, right? Is everybody just leaning in and then we're doing it, right? Or do you actually say, okay, let's make sure that we have everything so we can do it the proper way so it doesn't take too long?
Because
that's also a drag, right? Because that's like waste of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about this, so with your team, right? How do you keep them motivated?
I think being motivated is, I think we, as a leader, I think we need to, you know, acknowledge and know like how they're doing well, right? And I think keep them motivated is telling, hey, the reason why we do this is to accomplish not a bigger picture, right? So yeah. they know how to do it, what to do. I think all of our team very good at it, even better than some of the leader, but they don't know the reason why they're doing it. So basically keep them motivated. It's not to see the big picture. You know, we work as a team, you know, this is what we're going to achieve together, right? Yeah. So keep them motivated, say, hey, this is our goal. And then also, I think for our company, right? And we, a lot of our product, you know, go into different industry and also telling the story behind, right? You know, for example, during the COVID time, many of our product in power supply, you go to the vendor machine in the hospital bed, right? Hey, that's worked a bit harder, try to expedite the parts for them because that also power supply is just a hardware, but hey, it's just, you know, it's not we are saving the people, but it's get to the hospital where they need an extra bed, you know, and all that stuff. And they see it behind like what they're doing day to day. It's like, wow, our product is actually, you know, with the whole COVID have a shortage on the ventilator or the hospital, but you know, we can get, yeah. if we can help work expedite a little bit more of our component, we can get more of the medical bed manufacturer side out yeah. of the door. So yeah, and then when they see that they're willing to, you know, work a little bit harder or work a little bit, you know, try to go out there, you know, a little bit more than 100% yeah. to call out to kind of help out on this kind of cases yeah. like that. Yeah.
So that's also connected to how you know, you build that trust with your customers, right? Because mm-hmm. if you have that trust, that's much easier, right? To share that with everyone in your team and then get that motivation going.
Yeah. And then I love how you bring up trust. And I think one of the things I think earlier you mentioned about in this industry, I mentioned about people, right? And I think trust is very important. And I think kind of tying together culture, internal Asia culture, we build trust slowly, you know, and basically we work with, you know, for you for like 2 years, 3 years, we both trust together. Yeah. And then I like to, you know, when I say something, I say I'm going to do it, I need to make sure I live up to my word. So that's one thing that, you know, many of our distribution partner I work with for 20 plus year, you know, like we, of course, you know, there's a differences, there's a disagreement, but, you know, when I say I'm going to do something for them, or I say, hey, if this happened to you next time, I will support you in the same way how I support another partner. But right now I'm going to tell you no, because I'm supporting another partner. I want to demonstrate that. So I think that trust factor is so important.
Yeah.
In the electronic industry. And then, you know, I don't think that's one thing can be replaced by ChatGPT, the robot. You know, that human relationship and trust is such a powerful thing that I think it's it will never go away.
No. I see the whole AI of how to use it, right? It's some efficiency, it's a tool. But yeah. it's going faster and faster. So it will replace something at a certain point, but it won't replace that last piece, which is that personal touch and the trust, as you're just saying. Quick pause. If you're enjoying this conversation and picking up new leadership tip, go hit that follow button. And if you want more, come hang out with us on YouTube. Just search for Leadership in Manufacturing. Back to the show. I want to touch on something, because with the culture, and I don't think I've asked anybody about this, so you're the first one here, because with change management, right, of the something changed in an organization and they're saying, okay, now, you know, this is the new structure, this is a new goal, and, you know, this is where we're going. Nobody likes change. That's just how we human are. That's just how it is. Even though we tell ourselves, you know, it's good, we need to do it. But it happens, right? Because this is how the world is. So, yeah. how with the cultural difference, what is change management, or, you know, how do you look at that? Now that you can see the both cultures.
Oh yeah. I love this question. It's one thing about the company I work with now, and we always kind of joke about it. We say, hey, one thing that hasn't changed is always changing. So the world we are, especially, you know, the work pace we are, is always something changed. No matter we want to or we don't want to, the whole the big environment is changing.
Yeah. So something's happening, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then if we don't want to adopt change, I think personally or professionally, you will be kind of behind on many things on that. Yeah. But to tie up with the culture too, I think that's something, you know, I think that the culture too, like they're changing, you know, in different way, right? And I think no matter if it's good and bad, like we get to learn, like, hey, you know, I always say why, you know, that culture is changing in a different way, or how it's different between the culture we are, or the person that you deal with, right? So I think for that change, we always want to learn about, you know, it's kind of understand what the change coming, right? And yeah. why that change is good. And then try to kind of look on the bright side, right? Because there's always two sides to it. And I think that's a very important for us to kind of understand that part. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also to listen, right? Because you've sat and saying, okay, this is how we're going to change. There's again other changing happening. So you have to make sure that you're listening and actually go in the right direction. So with all these chains and the culture, if you look at yourself, how have your leadership style changed over the last couple of years?
It has changed. If I look back, you know, I definitely change in a way is, hey, need to be more people-centered leadership. Yeah. And then before it's like, hey, you know, before they speak, I speak. Say, hey, this is how it's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
That's what's given by my manager. That's how it's going to be. But now it's kind of changing the way. Say, hey, you know, hey, I want to kind of hear what you think about it.
Yeah.
And in, like, not only talk, right? And then also get their perspective. Or during the meeting, it's always, you know, the manager talking, right? Right now, it's like, hey, I try to change in a way. It's like, hey, kind of want to hear, because they're the one deal with daily stuff, operating stuff. And if you don't get their insight, this whole team's not going to operate, right? So that's something I definitely try change more, especially we are in sales. They say sometimes the internal, a good salesperson is not always a good at talking or persuading. It's be a good listener, right?
Yeah.
Listen to what other people say. So it definitely has changed me in a way, no matter the, you know, from the overall view or it's from the kind of talking with different people. Yeah.
You already took, because I wanted to hear, you know, what your leadership habits, right? What have helped you the most? But I think you just said it, right? So it's the listening has been a big mover. And I think it's so important, because you can be in meetings and you can see somebody's just, if there's any conversation going on, right? Or questions or something, right? Somebody will be really fast of saying something. And you're like, oh my God, I needed to actually process that before I had something clever or a question or something I wanted to say that could actually benefit the whole team. So the listening, right? But also make sure you have the time to just saying, okay, what does that mean, right? And then you can actually have that really great conversation. So sometimes, again, right, the slow down before you
start. Slow down. It's okay for leader to slow down. That's one thing.
Yeah, right.
Because we always are urgent. This is urgent. Yeah. But sometimes when you kind of slow down or kind of hold back, you will see everything would be okay.
What about skill set? I wanted to hear, is there any new skill you have acquired over the last year or something?
In terms of a skill set, I think in terms of kind of the, in the electronic industry, with the workplace we are, of course, we need to learn about a newer technology for our company own product. But I think the soft skill, right? I think soft skill, that's very important. And then I also handle marketing a little bit. I think being understandable, more skill set on the whole social media thing, you know, understand how to best market, you know, your company yourself, right? And then in the world, and then it's totally different from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So with the, you know, newer generation, how they kind of see things different, that's definitely the new skill set, is to understand how, you know, joke about a Gen Z, how they think or how they see things differently. And so that's kind of definitely something we continue learning on that, the whole skill set on more the new marketing thing, right?
Yeah, no, it's so fun. Yeah, I think the younger generation, right, they can do anything from their phone where I'm like, oh, no, we need to log in on my laptop here. No.
Yeah, and it's so funny. And we like text together, but we're like, can you just pick up a phone to call? Yeah. You know, there's a 10 message, right? So, yeah, that's definitely very different.
And I think I need a new course in, you know, what emojis I should use. I think I'm sure I used the one years ago, but no, it's all good. But I think it's so good with all the generations, right? We need to listen and to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And that is just so great. Again, I think we're seeing so much new talent coming into the industry. And it's just great to see that transformation or change management, right? We were just talking about, right? It's slowly happening.
Yes.
So that's just so great to see. So I want to ask you, there's a few more questions here, because I want to hear, when it's a younger generation, right? What kind of advice would you give them if they're starting in the industry and they haven't been in the industry before? What kind of skill set, or what should they do to get like the first foot or the first step into this electronics world and actually have a great time?
I would think when they ask a question, to think first, because I think with the now generation, they know how to find an answer, right? They just had to, you know, to ask ChatGPT. They're very good at finding answer, but they don't really kind of digest the question or think first on that. So I would recommend, like, you know, a lot of question was given to you or problem at a workplace, to kind of sit back and think first. It's like, wow, you know, kind of analyze some of the data versus like, okay, let me, here's the answer. And then, but they don't really, yes, we know the answer, but they don't know how that process is kind of get to the answer. And I think that's very important. And then also still show that, you know, like we kind of joke about it before. We always say you fake it until you make it, right? Like the unicorn, there's no such thing as a unicorn, but they fake it. And the unicorn is so popular, right? But right now with the kids, like, I don't think they even want to fake it anymore. It is how it is. Like, you like me or you don't like me, right? It's okay. I think that's great. I think it's great being yourself, right? But I think at a workplace, sometimes you still have to, you know, show like you're willing to learn stuff, you know, you showing you're being present, showing you're willing to work, instead of like, you know, have that attitude. It's like, okay, it is what it is, you know. So that good attitude, I think it's very important. Not saying you had to fake it, but at least you had to kind of show it versus like, hey, we don't, you know, and then we can see it, you know, and being anybody working in the industry for so long, it's like, well, is this person, seems like they're, you know, show up and then willing to work and have a good attitude on that. And then I think that can get you all much farther, and the company is willing to invest you in more on that part.
Yeah, I like that. I also like what you're saying. There's no more unicorn, right? It's like the buzzword that was on, you know, all over, right? On any job, right? It was like you have to multitask and you had to show how you could multitask, right? And there was the unicorn. And now it's like everybody's like, you cannot multitask. You can concentrate and you can perform much better, right? If you concentrate on one thing and just execute on that, go to the next one instead of sitting with five different things. So, but that's how everything is changing. But I like what you're saying. I think it's also understanding the problem solving, right?
Yeah.
So understand how you got there. Because if you understand that process, even if it's within that organization you're in, to say, okay, this is how the team works, or this is how the information goes in when a customer asks or we have an issue, right? If you understand how everything is like going together, all the dots, right? If you understand.
Yeah.
Something similar happened, right? They're much better skilled to say, okay, I know what to do because I can connect the dots, and now I can solve something similar, right? So I think that's what I'm hearing you saying.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So last question I have here. Love it. Yeah, no, because it's reflecting, and it's the change management, right? And we talked about, you know, what have you learned and with skills and stuff like that. So it's like, if you look back, Jessica, like 10 years ago, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
I would give myself as I think we've mentioned a lot in this conversation, it's okay to slow down. Yeah. For me, I think I'm always, what get things done and a little bit overachiever, like, hey, it's once get this done, if it's due on tomorrow, I want to send it out today, right? So it's okay to slow down to, not saying you're not going to get things done, but once you slow down and then kind of sit back, a lot of things, your team or certain thing within that day that they're able to do it, right? Yeah. And then so that might be something I want to give it to myself, because I think for me, there's certain thing I feel like I was too urgent to get stuff done, but yeah. Everything is urgent. But the very important, the very important thing, I should have spent more time on the very important, but I feel like everything is urgent. So maybe maybe certain thing I didn't prioritize right? So yeah, I would think that's something I could have changed, I wouldn't.
And it's always easier now, right? When you look back, when you're in the moment, right? It always feels either a mountain or you climb to that top and then you're like, yeah, right? Overachiever, you did it, right? But looking back, you're like, oh my God, I could have waited the 6 hours, right? Or on that day, the world will still have been the same.
Yeah.
But it's easier after. I think it's easier after. But I also think it's so important that you sharing that is that it's every day is a learning, right? And every day is so good. Maybe you don't have to reflect on every day, but still sometimes take the time, right? And do that reflection, because I'm sure we're in the middle of something right now. Everybody is in the middle of something happening where it could feel like that mountain. So it's okay to slow down. I think that's the one, right? And then be present and ask the right questions. I have so many titles for this.
Yeah, that's right. And I always ask why, what's the reason behind. So I think that's very important too.
That's awesome. So thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing everything. There was so many learnings.
And it's so much fun. I love it. This is great. You make it feel so comfortable and easygoing. I was so nervous at first, but you make it sound like, very easy conversation.
So that's why I'm like, I want it to be good. So I want to make, if it's okay with you, just something you already talked about, but if I can make a bonus clip where I ask you about, and we either talk about the culture or maybe talking about, asking the why it's important to ask the why.
Mm-hmm.
So out of which, should we take the one asking the why within a team? And then if you could... it's just like a 30 second or 20 second answer. It's not like you have to, it's not like full. I just want to ask. Okay, let me just ask you and then we clip here and okay. So Jessica, I have one more question. I want to ask you when you have a team, right? And if you have younger team members, right? Let me start over. See, I'm like,
no way.
I see right now I'm screwing up here. Okay, Jessica, I have one more question, because we have a lot of new talent coming into the industry, which I love. And I think we're all seeing it. So we already talked about the advice, right? To say you have to ask, right? More questions, or you have to slow down. But if you could go just a little bit deeper to say, why is it so important to ask these questions when you are in a meeting or going into a new organization and you have to like settle in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's important to ask those questions to be more clear. I think the communication, because if you don't have the clear communication, and it could go in different direction, right? And not the team know the reason why behind it, because they know what to do and how to do it. But if they know why we had to do this, then they're willing to put extra effort to it.
Yeah. I like it. It's like de-engineering, right? Ask the question, connect the dots. So you actually are much better skilled next time you are in front of that kind of challenge or problem, if you want to be a little bit more negative and say problem. It helps us all, right? I think when you understand, and also when with an organization, if they're like growing and you suddenly you have much many team members, right? Or there's different teams as well. You need to understand how everything is connecting, because otherwise, you can't navigate in it, right?
True. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I'm trying to. So thank you so much.
Yeah. No, thank you so much.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sega Electronics. For more than 135 years, Sega has been helping connecting technology and people. They're a trusted North American distributor of interconnect power and electromechanical products, and they also offer custom solutions to meet unique needs. With a reputation for quality innovation and customer service, Sega delivers the confidence that technology will work when it matters the most. Learn more at Sega.com. Thanks again for listening to this episode. I appreciate so much that you're here to the end. And I want to share because we're doing awesome on YouTube. We have over 200,000 views. So I want to make sure that you're following us on YouTube. So just look up Leadership in Manufacturing and make sure to subscribe. Another one, I also want you to sign up for the newsletter because I want you to stay in the loop when we have a new episode or when we actually have a good leadership tip that we want to share. So make sure to search for leadershipmanufacturing.com, sign up today, just look for the newsletter. And thank you so much for listening to the full episode. And one more, right? Remember, stay curious, keep learning. See you next time.